Let's get started. We're running a little low on time. Let's get started. Take advantage of what we got. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today, God. God, we thank you for coming down, Lord. Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that it would be in this room, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. In a mighty way, Lord, that we would hear exactly what you want us to hear, Lord. Lord, we love you. God, and we pray that as we come through those doors, that we'd set our things aside, Lord, and come in here strictly to worship you, Lord, and nothing else, Lord. It's the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Guys, I'm going to speak from down here, and I want to go through a few things before we get started. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask Jackson to come up and read some scripture. But before we get there, I want to tell you about a young lady that came in to see me at my job, I think just a few days ago. She come in, and there's a rule that I have about myself, that I do not discuss politics with strangers. If you ask the adults, that's a good rule. Because if you wind up in somewhere where you disagree, and to be truthful, it's something that we shouldn't argue over. But this young lady come in and she said, you know, I want to know your opinion on who should be elected. And I told her, I said, I'm not comfortable talking about this with you. And she said, well, I really want to know. And I said, do you really want to know? And she said, oh, yeah, I do. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes, I'm very sure. And she said, all right, who are you voting for? I said, I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that I don't like either one of them. And she said, oh, okay. She wanted me to pick one, to choose one. And she said, you share something with my mother. She said, my mother said that she doesn't like either one of them, and she's ready, hear me, to move out of the country. And I thought to myself, you're willing to move out of the country because you don't like the two candidates? This is still America. God blessed America and still has blessed in America. Every day we live under God's blessings. But because you don't like two, you're willing to leave. And see, that's what I think about the Lord. I start to look at what God's blessings are on me and understand that sometimes I've just got to hold where I'm at to receive what He has for me. And on that note, I'm going to ask Jackson to come up. We're going to read out of the book of Matthew. And we're going to start in chapter 26 and starting in verse 57. He's going to read all the way through 68. Let's listen. Hold on 1 second. Green.
There you go. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?"
Thank you, Jackson. Thank you very much. See, Jesus was speaking there that a time was actually had been prophesied earlier before that. But we'll get to that in just a moment. But when I heard those words, and, you know, we had a really, really good time last Wednesday out in the trailer, you know. It's funny because we can cram way too many people in one trailer and still have a great time. And we worship and we sing and we listen to music and we use chairs as an altar and it's completely unorganized. But we still have a great time. And I'm thankful for those times. And I was on my way home, and I was listening to this preacher, and it was out of Ella J. or Jasper or something like that. It was on the radio, and it was coming from Honestly, it was probably recorded in 1930. I mean, it was so old. And the preacher had the same tone, just blah, 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 blah. And it was really, really good. And then he paused. And the next words he said were this. He said, God's grace is free, but it wasn't cheap. And I remember thinking, where's a pen? I need a pen. I've got to write this down. So I found a pen and I wrote this down. And God began to speak to me about God's grace is free. He's saying, my grace is free, but it wasn't cheap. And we just got through hearing about that. And Jesus is telling them in verse 64 something that's important. He's telling them who he is. He says, you have said, but I say to you, from now on you'll see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then he even goes as far to tell Caiaphas of what's to come. He said, look, the next time you see me, it won't be like it is right now. It won't be the same. It will be different. But Caiaphas, he never paid attention to that. He moved straight to the accusation. Straight to the accusation. He said, what you've said is worthy of death. They moved immediately to something else. You know, depending on which book you're reading this from or which translation, it even said that they give him a staff and to make fun of him almost, and they beat him in the head with the staff, and they took a crown of thorns and they twisted him up. They drove him down onto his head, and they ripped his clothes, and they hurled insults at him. You got to understand, this is Jesus. This is not just a man. This is the Jesus that we're talking about. The one. They beat him. They hurled insults. They made him drag a cross all the way to the top of the hill at Golgotha. And there, they hung him on a cross and drove nails through his hands. Again, still hurling insults, telling him, why don't you bring yourself down? They put a description above his head, a label, you might say. It said, King of the Jews. They didn't know how right they were. And then Jesus cried, it is finished. And then he died. He paid the price for you and me. Right then, paid. Grace is free, but it wasn't cheap. See, they foretold of this very moment in Isaiah chapter 53. I think it's verse 3. It says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from people who hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And that's what's important. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But, you know, we've all heard about how Jesus hung on the cross. But I often wonder, what if I would have been there? What if I could have witnessed it? What if I were standing there? How would I feel? How would I feel knowing that the one that doesn't deserve the punishment, that the punishment's actually mine, that he was willing to take it and I had to watch it? How would I feel then? And then I start to think, what was the actual cost? What was the actual cost that was paid? What's equivalent to? And I can't wrap my head around it. I can't gather it up and understand what it really means. So I jump. I move a little bit and I say, if I can't measure the cost, can I measure what was purchased? The truth is, Jesus purchased you and I. We were purchased. You and I were purchased. In 1 Corinthians, in the latter half of the 19th verse in chapter 6, it says, you're not your own, that you were bought at a price. We were actually bought. It's not just coincidence that we worship him. In Luke 4:18, it goes on and it gives the purpose for Jesus' visit. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Now, think about what I just said. Can you put yourself in one of those categories? Think of, in your mind. Do you feel oppressed sometimes? Do you feel beat down? Do you feel like that I want to be the Christian that honors God? I want to be the guy that's stoked, that goes to school and is fired up. And everybody says, why are you so happy? Well, I'm so happy because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you ever want to be that way? But sometimes you feel like there's something holding you back. I know some of you do. We've talked about it. Do you ever feel like that there's something keeping you from being the one you want to be? That's what we were talking about in here on Monday night. But I can always go back and never forget what Jesus done for me on the cross and all of the mercy that he's poured out on me, that he was willing to do for me, and all the freedoms that God has given you and I. And I'm going to get to the message in just a second. We're not there. I go to the Lord daily. I ask for forgiveness daily. And I also pray out loud. I speak his name out loud. Here's what's important. I carry this, and I don't worry about what other people think about it, because we don't have to. I carry my Bible publicly. Let me fill you in with one of the greatest blessings that's ever been poured on you and I. We were born in America. We're American. And people say every day, oh, I'm ready to leave America. You're ready to leave America. You got to understand that America was partially put together by men, but it's a nation because God put it together. See, it's all free. You see, I can carry this freely. I can speak it out loud freely. But it wasn't cheap. So I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that God put all this together, that men that were obedient to him put it together. And I believe that you and I are blessed beyond measure because we're born here. But I also believe, and this may be near to your heart right now, that athletes and everyone alike that stand on a sideline or at a sports arena or at any other event, when they stretch out the American flag and they sing the national anthem, that every person that has the ability should stand. Do you understand where I'm going? That if you have the ability to honor God and honor the flag that I claim and that most people do, that he had his hand in making our nation, that we should stand. Because again, our freedoms are here. But it wasn't cheap. It was built on the backs of young men and young women. Some didn't come home anymore. In fact, they have babies that will never see their mama and daddy because they paid with the most ultimate sacrifice that they had to give with their lives. And that's been on my heart ever since I've been seeing it on TV, and you know what I'm talking about. But you understand that Jesus Christ paid more than that for you and me. And just like people take the gift of America for granted, they also take Jesus Christ for granted. And again, I told you I was trying to wrap my mind around what was the cost for you and I to be saved? What was the cost really? We can't examine that again, so we go back to what was purchased. But I think it said best, and this is the second time in two messages I've used it. John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that what? What'd he do? He gave his only begotten son. That puts us in a position to where we have to do something. You and I have to do something. We forget what it takes. But salvation to you and I should be way up here on our list. But God offered something to you and me for free. It was free, but it did have a cost. It cost Jesus to get to it. Mercy's free. Grace is free. But do you remember that when you pray sometimes? Do you find, right, look, it's okay. Do you find it hard sometimes when you get on your knees and pray to God to really come up with the words? Is it okay? It's okay to raise your hand. You get down and you get down on your knees, especially at the altar right here, and you say, Lord, I'm here to pray because I feel the need, but I don't know what to say. You ever get that? You know, the loss of words, like, here, Lord, I'm right here, but I don't know what to say to you. Lord, I want your mercy on my life. I want your grace. I want to honor you, but I don't even know how to speak to you. I don't know what to say. Like, Lord, you're so holy and so big, and you all the things that you've done, but I don't have the words. Do you know that's okay? It's okay to not have the words. Sometimes, as important as it is for you to speak, it's more important that we listen. That's what I've been dealing with for the past 12 months. Is trying to be the man God wants me to be. But I don't know how to speak to him. See, and it took me really thinking about what Jesus has done to change my life. It's how I approach God. And there's three things. And we'll go through all three. I want God to show me how to be truly thankful. Who remembers what the verses were from VBS? Does anybody remember what the Bible verses were from VBS? Not this year. I believe it was last year. What now? No, the submarine song is good, but not exactly what we need. Okay. All right. Psalms 139. Starting in verse 23 and 24. Who knows them? Does anybody know them? You'll know once I read them. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. I'm looking to be more than I am right now for him. Are you? But you feel that barrier. You can't get there. That's what David said. David said, search me, God. Look through my life. Find what separates me from you and remove it. I was speaking to a group Monday night, and I said something similar like this right here. When you start asking God to take away the things from you that you know are not good in your life, and God starts going through your closet and he says, okay, we're going to remove this. And you say, yes, Lord, I don't need that. And he sets it down. He says, all right, we're going to slide this out of the way. And you say, yes, Lord, I don't need that. And he says, we're going to move this. And you say, yes, Lord, I don't need that either. I'm willing to live for you. But he gets to that one thing. And he says, I'm going to remove this. And you say, no, Lord, not that. I love that. I want to keep it. I won't let it get between you and me, but I want that thing. And he says, that's a barrier between you and I. That has to go away. It's affecting us. No, Lord, it won't affect us. I'll sit it over here. I won't let it come between you and me. But listen, child, I need to remove that. I have something so much better. But all too often, we leave it set right in front of us, just like this. And God says, our relationship is at a standstill. We can't move because this is holding us back. This is holding us back. We can't move on any farther. And with that said, the second thing that we're going to say when we're asking God to go through our lives and find the bad things is we're asking God to draw closer. We're asking God to move closer. But he can't because there's this thing in our way. And James 4:8, it says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. But you can't, because there's this peace in front of you. And you say, God, I want your grace poured out on me. I want your mercy poured out on me. And he says, yes, I paid so dearly so I could do the things that you ask me. But there's this peace in front of you. And if you don't move it, I can't. I'm not willing. That's what God is saying to you. I'm not willing to coexist with that. I told you there was a decision to make, didn't I? We have those things. Raise your hand if you have that thing. You don't have to tell me what it is. I have that thing. I have that thing. You know, if you've got it, when I said it, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, just like Brother Joe says, and you knew exactly what it was. There may be more than one. You've got that thing. You have the hardest time with it. You don't talk about it. But you still know it's there. See, and people ask me, Alan, why are you at church all the time? Well, because I love church people. Alan, why are you here 4 days out of the week? Because I'd rather be here than most places. In fact, just about all places. I want to be around people that are like me, that we're looking for something. We're looking for the Lord. And they say, well, don't you have things in your life that hold you back from the Lord? Yes. Yes, I do. But I am reaching out to the Lord and saying, God, remove them. Little bit by little bit, every day, he knocks a little bit out of the way. A little bit out of the way, every day. And the third thing, as I'm asking God to label me his, say, I don't understand what you say, Alan. I'm asking God to do something in my life and put something on me that's undeniable. Like, I want the stamp of approval almost. Who knows what a brand is? You know what a brand is? Okay. You've seen them on people's arms. You know what I'm talking about? You know, hey, look, I got to get a tattoo. You know what? I'm going to one-up your tattoo. I'm going to brand myself. Can I really discourage you from that? That's very permanent. And I say permanent and only because there's not a word that's stronger than permanent. But I want that from God. I want God's brand on my life. I want to know that I'm his, not just in my speech, but in my life. I want to give Jesus as much of me as he'll have. We're getting ready to close, but I'm going to add something right here. This is the easy part. Let's get to the hard part. Imagine if I couldn't speak, or you couldn't speak. And I had to surround myself with the people that I loved. And I had to put a sign on them to tell them who they were to me. All right. You know who Tracy is. I would put her beside me first right here. And I would put my wife, my partner, the one I love. And then Alana would be right beside her. And it would say, my daughter. The one I love. And then beyond that, there would be Jackson. And it would say, my son, who's very hyper, and the one I love. And then there's my mother. You see that lady right over there? That's my mother. I would put a sign on her. I would put, my mother, the one who raised me, the one who loves me, and the one I love. And they say, well, is that everyone in your life that it's important? No, it's not. What if Jesus stood beside me? Because he has to be the most important. What label am I going to put on Jesus? Would I put Lord of my life, King of Kings? Because that's what we all want to put there. But if we're being real and we're being honest, what label would we put on Jesus? Would we put Lord of my life sometimes? Lord of my life on Sunday and Wednesday. Or Lord of my life when it's convenient. If I'm asking for God's grace to be poured out on me and I know what he'd done for me at Calvary, I'm going to take it as serious as I possibly can. on every day of my life, at every moment. And look, everybody says, oh, that's just hard. It is hard. It's never easy. He said it was going to be hard. In Psalm 40, verse 4, David said this. He said, blessed is the man, just like you heard me. We talked about it Friday night. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. In other words, everything in every part of my life, I'm going to trust God with. Everything. Lord of my life, King of kings. Or is it Lord of my life when it's convenient? If you'd stand to your feet. We're gonna bring a song here in just a moment. And you guys use an altar. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit spoke to you, but if it did, don't we have the responsibility of responding to Him? To listen to what He says and when He calls to go speak to God. You know, that young woman earlier this week that said, I'm ready to leave America. That bothers me because she's willing to leave the freedoms and the blessings of this nation simply because a little bit of trouble come by. A little bit of trouble. Our lives all have a little bit of trouble. Every one of us. But God said that He'd never leave us, He'd never forsake us. But we have to turn to Him. And as we get ready to play this song, I want you to be thinking about that in your mind. Be praying, Lord, I want to be everything You want me to be. Lord, I want Your grace and Your mercy poured on me that You freely give. And I knew what it cost You. And I'm willing to surrender to You. Play the song.
Sing it again.